We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I am pleased to welcome in our next guest. I love talking hockey with him, and he's so gracious with his time for Andrew and I. I consider him a friend and honored to say that. Keith Jones from NBC Sports. Keith, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Ron. It's always good to catch up with you, buddy. It's that time of the year.
It is that time of the year, the halfway point of the season here. And, man, Jonesy, the Penguins have won two cups in a row. So, I mean, you can't overlook that. But I think we're all disappointed here at the halfway point. They've lost more games than they've won, and they're barely out of last place in the division. You had a chance to watch them from the ice the other night, and they played one of their better games. Now, I don't know how good Philadelphia is, but your thoughts on where the Penguins are at the halfway point?
I feel much better about them after watching that game, and I think a lot of that had to do with the return of both Schultz and Letang. It certainly helped kind of solidify things on the back end. I thought Jamie Oleksiak had an outstanding game and showed what makes Jimmy Rutherford such a terrific general manager, the savvy to go out and find those unique-looking deals that somehow make his team better. I think that's going to help. I thought that they played a very physical game. I thought that they put some fear in the Flyers. And I think that's an element that the Penguins have not had in the past. So those things make me feel better about where this team is heading. I also like the way that Riley Sheahan played. And it was one of his better games, and sometimes it takes a new player to a little bit of time to get acclimated to his new situation. So that was a positive as well. And overall, I feel much better about Pittsburgh's chances of kind of getting out of the rut that they've been in and getting used to playing with some of the players that have left. It's taken some time, which I do think has been a big reason why they've struggled for much of the first half. But they are who they are now, and I think they're going to start to figure that out and find ways to climb back in this thing.
Keith, you mentioned Letang. He's not had a good year here at all. Now, he's coming back from neck surgery, and maybe it takes a little bit of time. He missed the last three games, and I'm not sure he was even hurt. I think they might have just said, hey, go clear your head a little bit. The first game back the other night, you liked what you saw. They got to get better out of him. I still can't believe they won the Cup last year without him, Keith.
Yeah, that's the remarkable thing, isn't it, Ron? That was the one thing in the playoffs that really stood out to me about the resiliency that the Penguins demonstrated without, you know, one of the best puck-moving defensemen in the game. I also think Chris Letang is a very competitive player, and I know Penguin fans appreciate all that he's done in that Penguins uniform, but whenever a player's play declines, like his has for much of the first half of the season, you become worried. And those worries are, you know, legitimate concerns. But you know what's in there. You hope that he's feeling well enough that he can be the player that he was in the past. There's nothing worse than being diminished from where you were when the name on the back still says Letang, but the player on the ice is not playing the same way. And usually that's attributed to injuries. You hope that that's not where he's at in his career. I didn't think he looked like that in the last game, the game that I was standing right there close by. I thought he looked like he was in control. I thought he made some really good decisions, and I thought he looked like his old self. So hopefully that three-day break served him well and that he can get his game back underneath him. We know he's capable. We've watched it for many years. The player we watched in the first half is not the one the Penguins need in the second half, though.
Keith, I don't know, do you buy the fact they played so many games the last 2 years, fatigue maybe, mentally if not physically, the hangover stuff? Because Sid and Malkin even are not producing the way they have in the past up to this point.
Yeah, that's where it becomes, Ron, really important that players like Riley Sheahan continue to be reliable at both ends of the ice. The one thing you missed with Bonino and Cullen was the ability to have, for Mike Sullivan, a couple of center icemen out there for defensive zone draws, not always relying on Crosby to go head-to-head with the big line on the opposition. You've seen a lot of that in the first half of the season where, because of, you know, a lack of depth at that position, or at least players that have played in those situations frequently in their careers, being out there trying to, you know, keep a top line like the Giroux line for the Flyers off the board, that is what the Penguins have missed the most. So there's been a lot of defensive zone faceoffs for Crosby. There's been a lot of extra work for both he and Malkin at both ends of the ice, and I think that's why some of their offensive numbers have dropped. Hopefully, for the Penguins, they correct that. But that's the deal when you have players that move on. I would not have signed Nick Bonino to a four-year deal. I don't know that his skating is going to hold up over the last couple of years of that deal. You think back to when Ben Lovejoy left and went to New Jersey and signed that free agent deal. Looked okay for New Jersey the first year, and now they can't get rid of him. That's happens very quickly, and those are difficult decisions that a general manager has to make. And the same goes for Matt Cullen, and we know how old Matt is. It was time for the Penguins to transition new players in those roles, but I would suspect it's taken longer than both Jimmy Rutherford and Mike Sullivan expected for those roles to really start to come to the forefront. But if they're going to be a playoff team and a Stanley Cup contending team again, they're going to need those type of things to happen from the third and fourth line center position.
Phil Kessel's been the MVP here, Jonesy, so far for this team. He looks like a different player to me. 44 points in 41 games. Always had that shot, but just looks to be a little more engaged. And I know for a fact they tried to move him in the offseason, but he has that long contract with a lot of money involved. Now he's their MVP. Does he look a little different to you as well?
Well, he looks like playoff Phil right now, Ron, which is he's always been good in the playoffs for you guys. So not so much at times during the regular season, but to me, he looks like you said. He looks like he's engaged, looks like he's, you know, showing a willingness to go out there and do whatever it takes to help his team, and he's been extremely productive, which, you know, Phil has been throughout his career, but there's times that you want to push him for more. He hasn't looked like he's had many moments this season where Mike Sullivan's had to push and prod him. He looks like a motivated player, so good for him. Not sure if it was the trade rumor talks in the offseason that motivated him or not. He kind of beats to his own drum, but it looks like he's got a good relationship with Malkin. Malkin can give it to him on the ice at times, which he did during the last game, and then Phil came right down the ice and scored on the next shift. So things kind of roll off his back, and he's been an important player for the Penguins in their two Stanley Cup championship runs.
We're talking to Keith Jones of NBC Sports here on the Cook and Pony Show. And Keith, Patrick Hornquist brings something to this team that it really doesn't have, that physical presence in front of the net. You know, Chris Kunitz did a little bit of that during his time. He's obviously moved on to Tampa Bay. Hornquist is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. And the fear is he's playing himself into some big money for one more big contract.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough call for Jimmy Rutherford because he is an outstanding player. He brings an excellent dimension to the team, and that's, you know, like you talked about, battling in front of the net, heart and soul, blocking shots, diving out there, and carrying his heart on his sleeve. All those things are very important. You just have to measure how much is left in the tank, and do you try to, you know, sign him to a long-term deal that somebody else may be willing to do. I probably would not. If you look at Chris Kunitz in Tampa, sure, he's a great locker room guy, but the guy on the ice is not going to do a whole lot anymore at this point in his career. That's the part that Jimmy Rutherford will have to measure, and if someone's willing to give him term, then that's going to be a problem for the Penguins to be able to keep him. So I like all he does. One of my favorite players to watch play, and I know he's an important piece, but when you're a general manager and you're looking to lock somebody up for an extended period of time at an age where a player has got some wear and tear, that would be a big concern for me.
Keith, you said something at the beginning of this about how you thought maybe the Penguins put a little fear in the Flyers the other night. How much do you attribute that to Ryan Reeves? Do you like him as a player? That was his best game. I mean, he had the goal and the assist. But he's only played, there's been games he's played 3, 4, 5 minutes here. Do you like him as a player, and do you like what he brings to the Penguins?
I do. And I think that's going to be a valuable part for the Penguins in the second half. I like that he's got the big rig there, Alexiak, to back him up now as well. That's an eye-opener for teams that may have taken some liberties against players like Malkin and Crosby. That should go away. He's just got to play well and play responsibly and not give up goals against. So that's where the trust will come in for Mike Sullivan. He's been there for half a year now. He should know the systems. If he plays like he did the last game, you've got a really, you know, important player moving forward, not just for the, you know, the fear factor that he provides, but also for some of the strong forecheck that he provided, a little bit of a scoring touch in that game, which you don't expect and can't expect moving forward. But all of those things would lead to more opportunities for him, and I think that would pay dividends for the Penguins moving forward, just based upon the fact how big he is, how strong he is, and how mean he can be. So all of those things I like, and it's a different look for the Penguins. I think it's taken a little while to, you know, kind of work its way into the team. So hopefully moving forward for Pittsburgh, that does come to fruition and he plays like he did in the last game.
Keith, the other night you worked the Flyers game, the Penguins game, and Tristan Jarry was a little bit of a surprise starter here for us because they had some time off. They had some back-to-back games coming up this weekend. They play Carolina tonight at the Islanders tomorrow. And Sullivan said he wanted Matt Murray to get away from it a little bit, work with the goaltending coach, Mike Buckley. Murray has not had a great year here. Any real concerns? Should Penguin fans have any real concerns about Matt Murray?
Yeah, I think you have to. He's a young goaltender. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion goaltender who's been very important on those Stanley Cup runs, but he hasn't faced a whole lot of adversity in his career with the exception of injuries. He does seem to be injury prone. There's not a whole lot to him. He's a, you know, a tall guy, but a really thin guy. And there's contact that occurs in and around that crease position. So that part would worry me. He's been at his best when he's had competition. So I think it's good that they start to go to Tristan Jarry a little bit more. I'm not sure what his injury situation is after the last game, but I think Matt Murray works best when he's got somebody else that's there and is pushing him. So to have Jarry to continue to develop and put some pressure there would be a positive moving forward, and also to give Murray some time where he doesn't have to be in the net as a starter on a nightly basis. I think he's better when he's rested as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how his career unfolds. He's an intelligent goaltender, plays his angles well. When he's on, he makes it look easy, but he has had some bumps this year, and he's going to have to be a lot better in the second half for the Penguins to make a charge.
We're talking to Keith Jones of NBC Sports. You see his fabulous work on the hockey games on NBC, analyzing this stuff, and I love talking to him. Jonesy, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you a couple league-wide questions here. You talk about Matt Murray. He had Marc-Andre Fleury last year by his side. How about what Fleury's doing and what Vegas is doing out there? I don't know if anyone saw this coming. Maybe you did. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you see them doing what they're doing and Fleury having the kind of year he is now after coming back from that concussion?
No, I didn't, Ron. I saw Fleury being an important piece to their success. I didn't expect them to win a bunch of games when he was unavailable and get down to their fifth-string goaltender and win. I'd love to claim that I saw that coming, but no, I did not. But very pleased to watch the way that they've played. They're a fun team to watch. They play with pace. They have a relentless style. And for those of us that, you know, played as role players in the National Hockey League, it's great to see those players that were in behind some superstar talents in different teams get the opportunity to be primetime performers and excel. So it is one of the best stories in the league, if not the best story this year. And whenever they're on, I click them on and watch them, and I watch them go because that's what they do. It's not going to slow down anytime soon, but I would be concerned in the first round of the playoffs with their defense. I don't think it's the same as some of the other teams that are in the Western Conference. If there's one Achilles heel that I think eventually will catch up to them, it's that, but they're on a roll. And that's not going to slow down enough to keep them out of the playoffs. So we will be watching them in round number one, just not sure how far they're going to go in the postseason.
Well, let's stick out west a little bit. People here are shocked the Penguins are near the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. How about Chicago in last place in the Central Division? What the heck's going on there, Jonesy?
Yeah, a lot thinner than the Penguins. There's some real holes back there on the back end. and that can have a tendency to cut off the offense. They looked good last night in defeat of the New York Rangers. Jonathan Toews being asked to do an awful lot, as always, and at some points in his career, the offensive production has not been there. He's going to need Brandon Saad to play a lot better in the second half. He started off with 6 goals in the first 6 games. He's had, I think, 6 or 7 now in the last 30-something games. So Saad's an important piece for them. They miss Panarin. That's not an easy thing for me to say that they would make the playoffs this year. I'd be more inclined to say that they're going to miss. I'd be more confident that the Penguins turn it around and get in there than I would be for the Blackhawks.
Who's the team to beat in the East, Jonesy, at the halfway point? Is it Tampa Bay?
It's Tampa still, just based upon the number of options that they have offensively and having Hedman and Vasilevsky back there. They do look like a real solid team. They're going to be a tough team to beat. And that John Cooper behind the bench has done a good job in previous playoffs. So I would be concerned about them.
How about New Jersey? Ray Shiro's done a nice job there since he left the Penguins. Man, they're 22-10-7.
Yeah, they're the Vegas of the East. They almost look like an expansion team, the way they've come from the bottom of the league and have turned it around quickly. And again, quick is the key word there, Ron. They go, and they keep on coming. So a lot to like about them. I would not be fearful of them in the playoffs, but I do like the way they played. I think they've got an excellent coach in John Hines behind the bench. And Ray Shiro knows how to pick up some pieces that can help a team out along the way. His Achilles heel, I think, was coaching or adding coaches when he was in Pittsburgh and not removing them at the right time. But other than that, he's done a terrific job throughout his career.
Keith, I always appreciate the time, man. I love talking hockey with you and Doc. And I know you joining all of us. I can't wait to get Edzo back. You know, I communicate with Edzo every week. I send him a text every week. And I tell him now, he tells me he's in the third period of his chemo treatments. I think he's got 4 out of 12 left. And I told him, you always were a strong player. You were a strong finisher, Edzo. So I have no doubt you're going to be finishing strong here, too. I know you're like the rest of us. You can't wait to get him back.
Yeah, no, I miss him. I talked to him yesterday. He was calling me during the game. He's going to come in and do some studio games in between here as he continues to recover. And, you know, we're all thinking of him. We all love him. And I think he's just an awesome human being. I can't wait till he's back going full out again with us. So all the best to Edzo and to you as well, Ron.
That makes two of us. Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to your work on NBC Sports. And you know what? I'm going to bug you again. I can promise you that, my friend.
Well, if you're bugging me, the Penguins are still fighting for the playoffs, so that's okay.
or we may be calling to bury them. Who knows? So
you never know. We can do that, too.
Hey, Keith, thanks, man. Have a good day.
See you, pal.
Keith Jones of NBC. I love talking hockey with that guy. He brings it. He's honest. He's candid. Fun to talk to.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.